comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be all around this beautiful place, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know and because you matter. We sent our K-files out over the weekend, and it was a little late going out. It was a little late going out because we got a lot of extra stuff happening here, some of it explained in this edition of the K-files, but you should have it now. Now, if you're subscribed to K-files and you've been getting it and then suddenly you didn't, remember this. If for any reason, doesn't matter whether you caused it or not, if for any reason your K-Files gets bounced back to us three times, and it will try three times to send it to you, it comes back three times and says it was unable to deliver it, then it automatically deletes your subscription. Now, the reason for that is very, very important. It is because we do not spam, and we don't want to be accused of spamming anybody. And so, we try three times to send it to you, and you don't get it for whatever reason. Could be problems out there on the internet. It could be problems at your server, your mail server. It could be your spam settings. It could be your mailbox is full. Doesn't matter. Three times, and then we delete your subscription. You have to resubscribe. That's the way it works. And that way, that's how, for 12 years, we have avoided spamming anybody. Also, if you have recently subscribed and you didn't start getting the K-Files, it's because you didn't activate your subscription with that link that we sent you. Okay, that's why. So, I mean, there's not but just one way to do this to make sure that we don't spam anybody. So, if you're not subscribed, get over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says K-File, subscribe, and then use the link. You're going to get an automatic email. Use that link and activate your subscription. Otherwise, you ain't getting it. That's just the way it works. If you follow the instructions, and they're simple, you get it. We have a fantastic members community here. I mean, we've got some of the best people you can imagine in our members community. And we've got some of the best features that you can imagine in the members community. If you're not yet a member, you are cutting yourself out of at least 75% of what we do here. It's always free to listen, that's true. But that's kind of like window shopping. Come on in. Only you can fix it. It's $7.50 per month to be a member. That's 25 cents a day. You get all the archives, you get to watch the show, you get to watch the latest show, which means if you miss the live show, you get to watch that show, this show tonight, for the next 24 hours anyway. You get, as I said, the forums and chat room and video galaxy and lots of stuff. You need to join, and we need you to. All right, we'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, we have all kinds of guests on this show, and from time to time, we have new guests. From time to time, we have people who have been our guests before. Tonight, it's someone who's sort of like family, and two very special people. They would be special people even if they were not affiliated with the Kevin Smith Show. They would still be special to me. But they are affiliated with the Kevin Smith Show, Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills. They're great friends. And in addition to that, Jerry is the associate host here at the show. And they are Expeditions TV. So if you ever want to take a look at some real cool video of some really remote places and some very interesting ancient structures, you need to get over to Expeditions TV. And you can watch their videos, and you'll just have a great time over there. They're great videos. Jerry is the executive producer, and Kathy, the way he describes it, now she probably doesn't like for me to say this, but the way he describes it, basically she's the boss. And she does all of the detail planning and research and all the logistics and all that stuff. And as far as I can tell from what he's described, he just kind of goes along for the ride and holds the camera. But, that's not exactly true. But, anyway, we're delighted to have them with us this evening. And, they are about to begin, whole brand new adventure in their lives. And we're going to hear a little bit about that, tonight. Jerry and Kathy Wills, welcome to the show again. We're glad to have you. Oh, it helps, Jerry. You know, it always helps if I turn your mics up.
All right.
Yeah, all right. We've got you. Hi, Kathy. I know you've got, I'm not going to say the name, but I know you've got one ardent fan out here.
That's what I said.
Yeah. You got more than that. Okay, Kathy and Jerry Wills. Jerry and Kathy are joining us from their home right now, and that's part of this adventure. Tell us, Jerry and Kathy, what is up? What is underway here?
Well, currently what we're doing is we are putting this up.
Wow, we're getting really bad audio. It's like,
let me try to change this a little bit, Kevin. I'm going to have to change the mess with this just a second.
All right.
Things go a little wacky here. Just bear with me.
All right. So what he's doing now is he's just turned the camera completely over, upside down. So we'll see what we get here.
How about that, Kevin?
I think that's probably fine, but let's see what the audio is. So tell us about the adventure. What's up?
Well, what we're doing, we've been doing this for about the past 3 weeks. We have been packing up where we're living, putting everything in boxes, hauling it up to storage, and simultaneous to that, we have a 35-foot travel trailer, and that's being outfitted with all kinds of electronics and just really upgrades. We'll have a mobile studio in there, and of course all the editing equipment and production equipment. And we will be completely mobile as of November 1st, but as of September 30th, we'll be out of this place. We're going to be moving up to a small mountainside community called Jerome, which will be our base of operations for about a month while we're finishing work on the trailer.
All right, so that's why it sounds like you're in a mausoleum right now. The place is empty except for the sofa, huh?
It is this big hollow-sounding place. Sorry about that.
A sofa with a box on the coffee table and the iPad on top of that, and that's about it.
Yeah, we're down to bare bones here, Kevin. We don't have any of the computers, studio, nothing is in here right now. It's just really broadcasting to you off of an iPad. That's it.
Well, we knew it would work because you did that with that iPad from Greece.
Yeah, we did. And it worked really... Actually, that was the iPhone.
Oh, the iPhone. Okay.
Yeah. We broadcast that show using an iPhone.
All right, so what the plan is, you're going to move into your travel trailer. You're going to have your studio there and become totally mobile. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, where are you going?
We don't know.
Oh, my.
You know, there's a limit to the details and planning that we have at this point, Kevin.
Well, you know, you told me that Kathy does all the detail planning, so she's kind of let you down here on these details.
Well, she might have a pretty good idea, and I keep hearing ocean, water, and trees. So
I see.
Who knows? It might be Florida. It might be Oregon or California. I just don't know yet.
Well, if you just hang around a few weeks, according to some folks, the ocean is coming to you right where you are.
Wow.
Well, that'll be a relief. You know, it'll really save on gas.
Well, I hope it doesn't happen. There's going to be some bad times if it does.
Yeah, I agree.
Your maps will be all wrong then.
Well, we'll still have GPS.
Yeah, maybe.
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how it happens. I wonder how GPS works if the Earth flips over.
Yeah, that really posed quite a set of problems, wouldn't it?
Well, it might. I mean, you might set course for Chicago and wind up getting a map for Beijing. I mean, who knows? You know? Why is it a benefit to have your studio mobile, Jerry?
Well, you know, what we do so often, we take off, we go places, and we get there, and then there's, we forgot to bring this. Or we have, you know, so much stuff with us, we're really loaded down. We wish we had more room. We're there for days or weeks, and we're staying in hotels. This is going to make it a little bit different of a circumstance because we'll be able to go wherever it is that we end up going and having everything there that we would have and need. And there's no rush to leave. There's no place to get back to. You know, when we go on these junkets, there are, in the back of our mind, There are these things going on, like, well, the rent, the lights, the cable, all the utilities, all these things are still going on while we're out there doing these things, and it's not cheap. So we figured, as we've done it quite a few times, a lot of the folks who know us know that we've done this a lot before. We just pack it all up, put it in storage, we're just in our vehicle going point to point to point. This will make it a lot easier. Plus, we'll be able to do broadcasts, as long as we have a good internet connection, we'll be able to do broadcasts from just about any place that we're at, and we're investigating systems that will allow us to do broadcasts from any location, as long as there's a cell phone signal. So the benefit is basically, it's not going to be that expensive for us to go and do more. And as much as we love to travel and go places, this is going to allow us to do that and to do it with a bit more style than we have in the past. It's just uncomfortable staying with folks or staying in hotel rooms. It's just very tiresome and becomes very expensive past a point.
So if... all right, so now your studio... is, just so folks will know, your studio, as I knew it when, of course, it was in a different location, than where you are now. But back whenever I was living in the Phoenix area, you had your studio at home. And it was not just a radio studio. It was a full-blown TV studio.
Yeah.
You going to be able to do that?
I think so. You know, the thing that has happened in the past couple of years is that cameras have gotten smaller, technology has improved. The main thing that we need in order to broadcast, like we are with you right now, we have an iPad. And it's doing a rather good job, from what I can tell. The difference between using the iPad and what's in the studio, my audio would be coming to you from either a small lavalier mic or a mic that's nearby, running through a compressor and processor, large computers, dedicated to processing signal and bringing everything together, so it would be a really, really high-quality signal that everyone would receive. With the iPad, we're getting as good a picture as we ever got, I think, with the camera.
Let me tell you, it's a good picture, but your high-def camera really is a lot better.
Well, sure, and it's because we're running it through a couple of really unique filters, too, and that brings out the detail and makes everything look better. And that's the difference between the studio and using an iPad. But in a small area like the trailer, and it's much, much smaller. I mean, it's a 35 by 8, so I don't know, quick math, it's about 260 square feet. What my studio that you saw was about 260 square feet, the whole studio.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a challenge, but I think we can meet it.
Well, and one of the things that will be good is that depending on what equipment you decide to add, or you may already have it, you can do a wireless link between your camera and the broadcast equipment in the trailer.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
So, if you're holding a meeting somewhere, you're doing a seminar, you could have the cameras set in there and broadcast wirelessly back to your studio, where very likely your boss will be in there running things for you.
That's right, she will.
She just found out. Just got it added to the job description. But, well, and folks need to know, too, that a lot of times, like when you guys go to, these really hairy places, down in the jungles of South America and so forth, and you're way back in there, a lot of the stuff that we get to see, Kathy ran the camera. Kathy did the camera work.
Actually, Kathy did the research. She figured out the logistics. She made the maps and put pins on them. She really did the bulk of the research and work that got us to the point to where we could be there. And she'd already figured out escape routes and what we're going to eat and how we're going to sleep. And, she's the science officer, I suppose.
The science officer, Mrs. Spock.
Yes.
Let me see your ear, Kathy.
Pardon?
Raise your hair. Let me see your ear.
My ear?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pointed.
Yeah, pretty close to Spock. Yeah. Pretty close. So, right at this point, you don't have anything in your house much. I mean, you've got your sofa, you've got your coffee table and a lamp, and but you
probably...
it's like the jerk. It's all I really need. I need my phone. Where's my phone?
Yeah. So you're, like one or two loads away from this being finished and you're out of there, right?
Yep.
That's about right. We have to take up a load tomorrow, and at that point, there'll be just a few sparse things that are remaining here.
Well, let's say you decide to go, for instance, like you just went to Greece not too long ago, and then on a project that was totally your project, and then you went from there to Bulgaria on a project that you were doing for us jointly with Dr. Filipov. So if you decide to take off and go do something like that, you got a place where you can park your home?
Yeah, actually, there are a number of places nationally that you can just take and store your equipment. It costs anywhere from $50 to $200 a month.
Depends on where you are.
Yeah, it really does. And you just park it, put it there. It's secure. There's a guard. It's well seen after, so no one messes with it. And then when you get back, you basically start the engines and take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we'll have that kind of encounter coming up in December.
What have you got happening in December?
Well, remember when I was on a few weeks ago, I had mentioned about the project that we want to do going back down to Peru.
Okay.
At this point, we have made contact with some of the people we needed to be in touch with, to be in touch with people who would give us permission to go into a rather dangerous area in Peru. We were going after a place we'd seen there 12 years ago, Kevin. It's way up on the side of a mountain, and it's deep into the jungle on the eastern slope of the Andes. It, well, we call it the Doomsday Stone, and it's it's a rock with pictures on.
So that's going to happen in December?
Well, the way it looks right now,
we haven't heard back from him yet.
Yeah, we just got the spell. See, what we have to do is send him some funds so he can travel and go back into these places and go talk to the mountain people and get permission for us to go in there. When Kathy and I first went in, it was 12 years ago. We didn't know it at the time, but we were the first white people to have ever gone in and come back out and still be alive.
Well, I'm glad you are alive. Believe me, I am. I hope you're still alive when we get back from this break, but I've got you on my monitor so I can see, and it looks like you both are doing just fine. But we're going to step away for a break, folks, and then we're going to come back in just a moment and talk with Jerry and Kathy some more. We'll be opening the phone lines tonight, so get your fingers ready to do the dialing. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills. And we're talking about their journey, their new adventure, and perhaps their journey into the abyss. We certainly hope not. At the moment, I'm watching Jerry stacking boxes. And we'll let you get a little shot of that as well if you're watching. I assume, Jerry, what are we looking at here? Is this like your studio that you're packing up, or what do we got here?
No, what it is, Kathy has me moving stuff. She says the break's long enough, you can get those boxes moved.
Oh, okay.
No, don't put it there. Put it over there. Okay, that's good.
Let's go back to the other room, shall we?
You never get enough work out of him.
Folks, if you're watching on our TV channel, hey, it's live TV, you know what I mean? All right, so when we went away for break, you were talking about going back to this Doomsday Stone. It's a great big stone way up in the Andes. You've talked to us about it before, and You have told us that it's got some petroglyphs on it, some markings, some drawings, and they seem to depict like the some great cataclysm that these people experienced. And my question is, what is it about this Doomsday Stone that has you wanting to go back again?
Well, a couple things. When we went there the first time, Kevin, we only had a still camera, 35 millimeter camera. It's a very good one, but we didn't have any video. We really weren't doing anything with video at that time. 12 years ago, cameras were much more bulky and they weren't that dependable for what we were wanting. The ones that were good were way beyond our reach. So what we wanted to do, we've been talking about it for 12 years, is to go back and actually do a documentary showing us going back to Tekachi, going up the Tekachi Valley, going up past this village called Shunte and Mital, climbing up the side of the mountain, going across this alpine meadow where there are all these stone steles. They're big square rocks with glyphs on them, pictograms or pictures, and then climb further up the mountain. And up near the top, there is some black earth and a little ridge of stone, just about an inch, maybe an inch, sticking out of the earth. You dig this out, and on that stone, there are these pictograms that, to us, were saying that everything suddenly changed, and the ocean came over the mountains, something was going through the sky. It was just a very strange thing. The most bizarre thing about it that we later figured out about it was one of these little characters on there that we'd never seen before. And, well, it was during some reading and research and trying to figure it out. We were actually looking for something else at that time. This was a couple of years later. Lo and behold, here is this thing from Zechariah Sitchin showing the Sumerian pictogram of Enki, a little Enki, a little space guy. And that's on that stone. And at that point, we just had our jaws drop. So we're going to go back and we're going to document this and bring it back for everyone to see. This is in such a hard area to get to. And it's so remote, I doubt that anybody in our audience has ever been or would ever want to go to a place like this. It's really very, very difficult. But I think the information is important enough to go and bring back. Kathy feels the same way, and that's why we're doing it.
So what do you think, what does this mean? Because, I mean, you found the little symbol of Enki, which is, of course, one of the Anunnaki deities. So what does this mean? You found it in South America. What's the importance of that?
Well, I think the importance is that there was some aspect of a point of reference for who they were familiar with. They certainly wouldn't have taken the time to have very carefully carved into a piece of granite a figure like this if they didn't feel that he was important, significant, and that they were familiar with this character. So, if that's the case, then there should be some other references, hopefully, around.
So you think that Enki then was a real historical figure, and if so, do you think that he was personally in that area and people knew about him as
well,
a result of that?
If it wasn't Enki, it was somebody that looked like that character, and that character looks like, you know, Enki. We don't know. I mean, these are really very good questions, and we're hoping we can find some answers to it.
What do you think, Kathy? You're the one that does all the research for Jerry. is...
Yeah. Well, sometimes things like that pop up and you just either get busy with life or that's as far as it has gone so far for us.
Uh-huh.
Well, what do you think? Do you think that this is... there's some relationship between what's on that stone and what we've seen in the Sumerian information that's come forward?
Yeah, there's some similarities with the depiction of water flowing up over the mountains, and there's depiction of people like looking horrified, and so with what Zechariah's written, that could be depicting that.
Well, there's also a whale. There's an image of a whale that's right over the mountains.
Right.
So we have an image of a whale.
Yeah.
Up in, 13,000 feet up in the Andes?
No, this is...
Well, this location is probably about, we'll just say about 10,000, 11,000, 8,000?
Yeah, where there's stone is.
For the stone is. But we do know that there's a lost city. Kathy deciphered a stone that's at the entrance of this valley. There's actually several of these. They're quite large. And she studied it for a while and came to the conclusion that it was a map. And sure enough, it was. And we, on our first expedition there, we ended up finding five lost cities. And one of these is ringed on one side by a huge sandbar full of seashells. And it's up there. It's 12,000, 13,000 feet or so.
Yeah, the guides told us about that.
Yeah.
And isn't
the path going to it has had severe landslides, and so they aren't able to get there on foot. You need to have ropes and all kinds of different climbing equipment to get across that area.
Yeah.
And you really want to go do that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to go to that particular one this time. A different one.
See, I think it would be great. Of course, we don't have this, but if we did, I think it'd be great if we had a little satellite dish, get there, and broadcast live from that location.
Oh, I think that would be fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, show the world in that moment where we are and what we're seeing. I just think that'd be great. It's just beyond our means. You know, it's real expensive to do.
Well, and if you if you're using satellite for broadcasting, it can be, you know, well over $100 per minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. We've looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the cost of equipment?
I've paid some of those bills before when I was in the jungle down in East Timor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it can really get expensive. Okay, so you have plans to go back to the Doomsday Stone. What about to Greece? Do you have any plans to go back to Greece? If so, why? What is it you want to go see in Greece?
Well, we do have a desire to go back. We don't have it planned at this point. I suspect it's going to be sometime next year that we'll be putting those plans back together. One of the things we were told about that we would like to investigate, and there are so many things, as you know, that we ran into while we were there. But one of the things we wanted to investigate were the stories surrounding the giants that were unearthed there in Athens. And then, of course, there are some things in northern Greece and central Romania that have come to light that, you know, we don't know much about it at this point, but just what's been written down, what's been told to us, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we could probably go to Europe and spend a couple of years there just going site to site. There's so much over there.
Well, if you plan on going to Romania, you need to know how to say the greeting over there, and it's morning over there right now. Just saying hello, good day, you know, is our good day is buona ziua. But you really got to work on this, and I want you to work with me on this now. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is for good morning. Buona dimineața.
Buona dimineața.
Hey, you did pretty close. Pretty
buona
close.
Dimineața?
Buona dimineața. Buona dimineața. Yeah, that's good morning. And this good day, Bunazua, and good evening, Bunasera. And how are you doing, Jeff Fudge? So
I'll let Kathy learn the rest of that.
It's a beautiful language. It's the closest thing on earth today being spoken. It's the closest thing to the Latin that was spoken by the Romans.
Wow.
How about that?
And a lot of their words are straight from Roman, you know, straight from the Latin. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And but they did pick up the Slavic word for yes, which is da. So they do have that. Have you been to Romania yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, you'll love it. What a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. And the food. Listen, when you get there, you get to a village and get somebody to do some home country cooking for you and get them to fix you varzaculita. You will love it. That's not a joke. I'm not playing tricks on you. You will love that. Varzaculita. And it's great food, really is. And I've had great food in lots of countries, but always for me, the home cooking, just like whatever the people are going to eat tonight at their home, is always better than the restaurants. I like.
You know, we had great food in Athens and other areas of Greece, but when we went to Bulgaria, there were a few things that just didn't make any sense, like the pizza with liver and pizza with cow testicles. Those things just...
Jerry, cows don't have testicles. That would be bulls.
Well, no wonder it was a strange dish.
We had gizzards.
Oh, pizza with cow gizzards. That's what it was.
Cow gizzards. Yeah, I have never had that kind of pizza, but I've had all over Europe, Eastern Europe especially, pizza with an egg on it, which we don't do here, but I got used to it and I liked it. Have an egg, fried egg, right up in the center of it.
Or hamburgers with eggs on them.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back in just a little bit, folks, and we'll continue talking with Jerry and Kathy Wills right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, my guest this evening. It's part of our Kevin Smith Show family, Jerry and Kathy Wills. He is the associate host of this show, and you have on many occasions seen Jerry and heard Jerry. Those who watch, you've seen him, and those who listen by radio or computer or telephone or however you do it, you have heard him as he has hosted this show. And they are starting a brand new adventure in their lives, a whole new episode. I think during the break, Kathy had that little talk with Jerry about the difference between cows and bulls. And I'm not sure, but I think so. Jerry, you look embarrassed now. Huh?
And he grew up on a farm.
He grew up on a farm, yeah.
Can't believe it.
It's something he just ought to know, you would think. All right. So, in Greece, you were told this story by some people who said that, you know, it was reported there when they were tunneling for this subway system, which they've been tunneling on that thing now since the 1990s. This has been going for a long time. But they came into an area tunneling. They tunneled into an area It was like a big mausoleum full of the remains of giants. And they hushed everything up. It got reported, but I guess. But anyway, they hushed everything up. And as you told us, a bunch of vehicles showed up there and carted away all of the stuff. And nothing was ever said about it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what we were told. We have an interview. We haven't released it yet because of this move. I was going to be getting it ready to be released this month, but because of the move and it had to pack everything up, I just didn't have a chance to do that. We'll get that out hopefully before the end of the year. But yeah, the fellow said that there were over 100 bodies of giants who were in this very large room that the tunneling device had busted into. And there were only 3 people working at the time. And this was late at night when it happened. The operator of the boring machine and 2 helpers. He was one of the helpers. And that... Actually, the fellow I talked to was the cousin of the guy who was there. Anyway, it was an amazing story.
If you go back, is he going to arrange for you to talk with his cousin, who was the actual person in there and saw it?
Yeah, absolutely. That and any of the other shopkeepers that might want to talk to us as well. Because the shopkeepers saw them hauling this, this material out, these mummies. They were seen bringing them out of the tunnel, putting them into large trucks, and being hauled away, and never to be seen again, and never to be heard of again. But there were quite a few folks who saw this, who had shops right there at that particular point where this was dispatched to trucks. And yeah, he will talk to us on camera and tell us what he saw.
Well, man, I hope you get to do that. I really hope you get to get that interview and on camera as well. There's so many mysteries around the world, and I know there are people that they sit out there and they say, yeah, well, okay, that's interesting, but who cares? You know, why? This doesn't make any difference in my life. And yet, their life, whatever it is your life, my life. Our lives are the products not only of what we have said and done, but what went on before us. And if what we get told about what went on before us is inaccurate, if it's not real, and basically if it's a lie, then our lives don't make sense, because that lie, if it didn't happen, of course it is a lie. So that lie, since it didn't happen, cannot have produced what we've got. But we've got what we've got. And when we look at what we've got and compare it to what we've been told, it doesn't make sense. And yeah. So it makes our world insane.
We look at this the same way, Kevin, as you well know. And it is, I would say the majority of your listeners, you know, when you find things that don't add up, you can ask the question and try to find the answers. But for a lot of folks, it's really difficult to go to these places, to actually go and try to find evidence, answers, what have you. We're just fortunate that, you know, we have a little bit of a means to do it. I mean, if we were wealthy, we'd be there right now broadcasting from inside the tunnel, probably. But we're not. I mean, it takes a lot of money to do these things, and, you know, we scrimp and save, and then we take off and go do this with the idea that there are so many people who don't have the opportunity that are still wanting to know. So it's our way of sharing our adventure with everyone else. And here's something else that I was going to talk to you about. when we're on this expedition in December, we're going to have a satellite phone. I think it might be fun to check in periodically and let you and the listeners know where we are, what's happening.
What do you think? I'm all for that.
It would just be a short call, but it would be enough to where you could put a pin on the map and kind of get a status report of where we are and what's going on.
Oh, I think that would be fabulous.
All right.
We'll do that. Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. Now, we're almost to our next break, but something of paramount importance needs to be brought up here. Mm-hmm. And that is, when you were stacking boxes in there, Kathy was kind enough to show us your feet, and you're barefooted. And, you know, I always do these shows barefooted. I don't have shoes on now. I don't like, you know this, I don't like shoes. And I only put them on if I'm going out in public. I was not aware of that about you. Are you a barefooter?
Yeah. I grew up in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And in the summertime, we didn't have shoes. In the wintertime, you had to have some. But, you know, as soon as it was warm enough, you were without shoes again. And I personally just find it a lot easier to manage without shoes. Of course, in the jungle, it's not quite as safe, but I have trekked for miles in the jungle without any shoes on.
Well, I don't. I have trekked for miles in the jungle with not barefooted, but with grass sandals. And, you know, the native people make these grass sandals, and they are really comfortable. It's the next best thing to being barefooted. But I'm glad to know you're a barefooter.
Yeah, that's me.
What about you, Kathy? You a barefooter?
Yeah, I love bare feet.
Wow, see, we have something in common I didn't even know. In this last break, I played a video of me walking down the hall in my bare feet getting ready to do the show. That's the way I do it. And quit laughing, folks. Some of you are laughing, and some of you are just aghast that I don't have on patent leather shoes to do the show. Do you have your shoes on? I guarantee you everybody at home doesn't have their shoes on. I bet you don't.
I don't.
So if you can listen to me barefooted, I can talk to you barefooted. That's fair. And Jerry and Kathy can, too. Kathy, hold your foot up. Let's see. We already saw Jerry's foot.
You're dirty, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been...
walking around the garage.
Yeah, stacking boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to step away for a break here. And when we come back from this break, we're going to open up the telephone lines. And anything about Jerry Wills or Kathy Wills... anything about their adventures that they've been on or adventures that they're planning. Fair game, folks. You can talk to Jerry. You can talk to Kathy. Ask them about any of these adventures. I know a lot of you have seen their videos and, you know, you've wondered about this, that, or the other thing. This is an opportunity for you to talk with Jerry and Kathy. See, I learned something. I didn't know they were barefooters. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. This is Kevin Smith. You're listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are talking this evening with Jerry and Kathy Wills, and we're talking about these great new adventures that are coming up, and they are entering... in their own lives, a whole new adventure. and that is everything is going mobile, including Jerry and Kathy. The studio, everything going mobile. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines and invite you to participate in the show. And you do that by giving us a call. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone number. If you're outside of the USA or Canada, you may use that telephone number. It will work. But we also have something called the flash message option on our website. If you're not in Canada or the USA, because we know it can be a bit expensive to make those international long-distance calls. So you may use that. Let's go to the telephone now, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington here.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Jerry about one of his experiences that he's told us about. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, Jerry, I had a question for you. You've told us your experiences many times, and the question is, when you were, and you're not the first one to say this, but when you found yourself inside a UFO, or what we would call a UFO, what kind of things did you see in there? That's my question. I mean, what was it like inside?
Yeah, very good question. Ryan, when I saw science area, it was basically very nondescript. There wasn't a lot of furnishings. There was, like, control surface area. There was a chair where a person, of course, would sit. It had arms, and there was a place where the fingers would move down inside the little sockets on the chair. Aside from that, there were two or three different opportunities that I had, let me think. One other occasion, I was inside, and there was a viewing screen, and it looked as though I was looking down, and I could see the ground just rushing away. There was no sensation of movement. And then the third experience that I had, which was really perhaps the very first time, I ended up inside on a table, and I was very, very sick. And they were examining me, and I noticed right up above, as I'm lying there, looking up, you know, above where my head would be as I'm lying there, and there was this, what now you'd say is like a large plasma screen TV, but it had an outline of my body. And there was light and motion, you know, from what little bit I could see of it. It was like a medical center of sorts. So, you know, the different occasions that I had to see these things, I saw three different things. And it's like, you know, now I'm thinking about it, it's almost like different craft had different purposes. They were made for different reasons. And the first one I was in was perhaps made as a medical ship of some sort. And the other two times it was more of a transport or reconnaissance kind of ship. But in all instances, it really wasn't like the Starship Enterprise. There weren't like banks of screens and lights and things
right.
going on. There was
not like
some,
Hollywood.
But
not
there wasn't
like Hollywood.
A whole lot of that.
Okay, I got one more thing. And, you know, the way you tell your story, Jerry, it's so real. You just seem so genuine. And that's why I never have questioned your story. But one other thing, and then I'll let some other callers come in. These people that you talked to said that they were from another world, essentially. Did they tell you anything about what it was like on that other world that they said that they came from? And I it's all through our history and all through our text here on Earth. So if anybody out there thinks that this is all nuts, they should go and read the Bible, because that's... Anyways, I'm getting a little far off.
Yeah, let's let him answer.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Ryan, the opportunities that I had for conversations with these folks was over the course of 5 years, from 12 and a half to 17 and a half years old. And during those 5 years, I had quite a number of opportunities to talk to these folks and learn about their world. Part of what they were doing with me was giving me information for who knows why, but they were telling me things, and of course I wanted to know, what's it like where you come from? And they took time to show me pictures and to describe it, and it, you know, it could be this world they were describing in some respects. The sky, you know, the color of the sky, a deep blue color in some places, and a light frosty blue color in other places, the oceans. The one thing that I remember that I thought was just beautiful was this one place they showed me a picture of, and it was as though the ocean was full of these orchid-like plants, not orchids, lily-like plants, with all these colors. And, you know, when you see a picture of a sunset and how beautiful something looks with a sunset, well, this was kind of like a morning, a sunrise. And these plants were open and the color was vibrant. It was just beautiful. There were no boats. There was just an ocean and land. And it was quite vibrant and beautiful. And that was one of their favorite pictures they had with them. Of this one person's home, where he came from. So, you know, they did. They took time to tell me these things, and they say that there are other worlds like this where there are equally beautiful things. I wish that I had gone to see this for myself. It was truly beautiful.
All right, I have a question or two about that, but we'll wait. I want to get to this next call. So, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tom from Ohio.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah, I have a question for Jerry Wills.
Yeah, go ahead. He can hear you.
Have you been to the Nazca Lines?
Yeah. Actually, we've been there many times. We found that the Palpa lines are much more interesting. Kathy's discovered quite a few really phenomenal areas in the Palpa Desert. Palpa is just over the mountain range, just north of Nazca, and it's a much older area actually than Nazca is. Actually, some of the Nazca lines, the Nazca people, went over this mountain and destroyed some of the Palpa lines. But yeah, we've been there many times.
What I wanted to ask, those lines, the line in itself, are those just stacked up rocks? Or did they dig out a gully and stack a rock from the side? Or... What does the lines look like?
I'll tell you, Tom, here's how it works. This is a really interesting thing. I want you to imagine a very, just the flat area like Nazca is. It's a desert. About 50, 60 miles from where we were is the ocean. And the moisture from the ocean has for centuries been coming up over the lines. It's laid a bit of varnish over all of these rocks that normally the sand and the rocks would be kind of a whitish color. The rock's probably black, but the sand is more of a whitish color. But there's varnishes over all of it, and the varnish is about as thick as a soda cracker. Well, you know how thick a graham cracker is? It's about how thick this varnish is. When you walk on it, it crunches. And when it crunches, it exposes the white sand underneath. Otherwise, it's just all kind of a reddish, ruddy brown color, and just completely the same, except there's rocks every place. What the Nazca people did is they would remove the rocks and walk these lines, and that caused a difference. Here you've got tens of thousands of years of varnish, except where they've removed the stones and they've walked in this area, exposing the light-colored sand underneath. The curious thing is this, Tom. There aren't any tracks going from any of these areas showing how all these people got there. In other words, if somebody says, you know, I've really got to go eat, or I've got to go to the bathroom, I'm tired of walking right now, I'm going to go over there behind, there's not even a bush. You don't see any tracks leading away. And the reason I know that that is a significant point is because I've walked out there in that area, so is Kathy, and as soon as you take one step and you step on that, there's a crunch, and that varnish is pulverized under your weight, and all you see is your footprint very clearly, nice and illuminated, becomes luminous because the sand underneath is so such a lighter color than the desert varnish is.
Oh,
you
wow.
Don't see any tracks going anywhere. It's interesting.
Okay, Tom, you got another question?
No, that's what I was wondering about, because all I've ever seen of the Nazca lines was Earth's view, which, you know, it doesn't show you ground, you know, it doesn't show you what it really looks like. And I've looked in different places, and it's never really described exactly what it's like at ground level.
Well, Tom, go to expeditionstv.com and watch Secrets of the Sand. I think you'll get some questions answered when you watch that, because we do shoot right at that level and you can see it.
Okay, I will.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call, man. Very interesting. And that is one of the great benefits of Expeditions TV, is we get to go with you and see it at the level you saw it at, which of course is at a little higher altitude than most of us would see it at.
But, Kathy's the one shooting.
Oh, Kathy's the one shooting, yeah.
If you see me shooting, the picture is going to be bouncing around like this cup. I'm not that good.
All right, folks, the telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we invite you to participate in the show. You can do that by calling or by using the flash message option on the website. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
All right. Now, look, it's been almost a week and a half since I've seen your show live, Kevin. Between my work schedule and you getting bounced off the air by evildoers, and now a week and a half later, what do you throw on my screen but Kathy Wills and Jerry, too.
And oh, what's his name? Yeah.
Yeah, her pet alien, Jerry.
Man, don't mess with Jerry. He'll put Jedi mind tricks on you.
Lori is here home with me tonight, so I've got to keep this clean.
All right.
And oh, by the way, speaking of clean, we're both sitting here barefoot.
Oh, you're barefoot?
Oh, yes.
All right. You know, I need to start asking every caller.
Is I don't have to put shoes on probably till late November, except to go to work.
Yeah. Cool.
And synchronistically enough, Jerry, Kathy, Lori and I spent the weekend looking at travel trailers ourselves. You know, we're at a stage of our lives, the kids are grown and gone, and we're thinking about chucking it all and going into travel nursing. And I read tarot cards, and people have a very intense experience when that happens. It kind of sets up a loop, an information loop, between their personal narrative and a larger life story that's waiting for them to live. You know, and it's always a very interesting experience, and that could work itself into that that stage of life that we're going into. And it could be that our travel trailers will cross paths at some point. But I've got to figure out a way to do it where I can continue to watch the Kevin Smith Show. You know, good grief, it's been a week and a half, and I've been seriously jonesing here. So, Kevin, I appreciate the fact you're live tonight. I get to watch it, and here you are giving me two of my favorite people.
Well,
and
what can I say?
Jerry and Kathy, I want to wish you all the best in your endeavors and what you're going to do. I know it's going to be successful. It's going to be a wonderful adventure. And I plan to continue to subscribe to Expeditions.tv as well as the Kevin Smith Show, the two greatest things going out there. And thank you, Kevin, for taking my call.
You're welcome. But I think it's ExpeditionsTV.com.
That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Well, there you go, Kathy. I told you you had a fan.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope we do run into Steve and Maury on the road. That'd be great.
You know, we've been looking online a lot the past month and a half, 2 months. There are some really, really interesting blogs out there, some very interesting websites that deal with exactly what we're doing. And the information is, well, it's the benefit of people who've been doing this for 6 years, 10 years. Some of them are very technologically skilled and have given all kinds of information that's going to allow us to do this a lot more easily. So, Steve, if you're listening, I'm sure you are, get a hold of us. We'll share some of our information with you, and it might help you guys. The travel nursing thing is a great idea. We have some contacts that I think you might enjoy connecting with that could help you with that aspect of your work as well.
All right. Let's go to the telephone and caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Jerry, Kathy, this is Brent.
And hi, Brent.
Hey, Brent.
Hey, guys. And I'm wearing socks.
Oh, man.
Here for bare feet.
You're just not extreme enough.
It's cool up here for bare feet, Kevin.
Oh, you're just not extreme enough. I go barefoot all winter.
Well, let's put it this way. I'll say this. I know Jerry does not like snow, but if he's ever up in Wyoming, stop by.
We've been talking about coming to see you.
Say what?
We've been talking about coming through to see you at some point.
Good. I just want to wish you guys well in South America, and I hope you make it to Greece, too. That's all I wanted to call for.
Thank you, Brent.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Brent. 623-444-5889, Pablo in Mexico, has sent me a flash message to inform me that he is a barefooter as well.
Great.
And, he is listening to all of us tonight. Bare feet. So, Pablo, thank you very, 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 very much. Makes me feel almost normal. Let me write that down, Pablo in Mexico. 623-444-5889. This is your opportunity. If you have anything you want to ask Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills about, any of their travels, any of their expeditions, anything at all, you can, don't ask Jerry about cows and bulls, but anything else, you can ask Jerry, and he will be glad to answer. And if he doesn't know the answer, Kathy does.
I'll know it.
Kathy knows. She knew the difference. But, Jerry, I think it's the first time I've ever seen you blush.
This is showing.
A little bit. I didn't know aliens blushed, man.
Oh, sure. I mean, you should hear some of the jokes that these ETs told me. They blushed when they told them.
Really?
I'm just kidding. Gotcha.
So, I wanted to know the joke.
That's the first joke I ever heard Jerry tell, too. All right, so Jerry, when you hit the road and you're just going from place to place to place to place. For you guys, home will be the trailer, and that means that you never have that feeling of, man, I just wish we could go home, because you can. It's with you. But I wonder if you're ever going to say, man, I just wish this wasn't home.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were just reading yesterday. There was someone who was, I was reading this on one of the blogs, and there was a person that asked that question. It's on the escapees.com, I think it was. And the people that answered had some really interesting answers, and basically, and I kind of feel this right now. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it in 6 months or a year, and I'm sure we'll take this up again. But everyone answered that they felt that wherever they were home, and that it opened up the panorama of life to a point to where they were experiencing things they'd never had the experience of before. They could go and do and not be their time not relegated by a vacation kind of standard where, well, I'm going home in 5 days and I better take it all in now. They could park there for another 2 weeks if they wanted to.
Yeah, a month or two. Yeah, cool. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Lasha from Canada.
Hello,
and
Lasha.
I just wanted to phone in and tell you that we're all barefoot up here.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. You're a barefooter, huh?
Oh, most definitely.
See, you know, I think most of my family thinks I'm very, very weird, and this the barefoot thing is just like only one of the things on their list, but it's on that list. So this is one they can take off their list. Lots of people are barefoot.
I had a question for Jerry.
Okay, let me ask you this. Can you hang on through this next break?
Sure can.
All right. You hang on, and you'll hear silence for a while, and then you'll start hearing music. Don't give up. Just hang in there. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, it makes me feel good, Jerry, that, you know, I'm discovering I've got a big family of barefooters out there. And it makes me feel good to discover that you two guys are barefooters. You know, had I known that, the night that you guys came over to my studio in the Phoenix area, and you had a group of people with you that had been on an expedition with you, you remember that night?
Yeah.
I did put shoes on for that night. I told people I had never done a show with shoes on, but I did that night. I wouldn't have done it. I really wouldn't. All right, here we go, folks. We'll be back.
From Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills. And on the telephone, Lasha from Canada. During that last break, Lasha, there was Brian from Burnaby. Now, I got a question for you. You think he might be a barefooter? He's Canadian.
As long as it's not winter, we're all barefoot up here.
All right. And by the way, after you say whatever you want to say and have your conversation with Jerry and Kathy, I have a question for you, but go ahead.
Sure. Jerry and Kathy, Do you know, there's a couple of sites up in Canada. I'm wondering if you would... Well, first of all, a big fat invitation to come up to Canada, and we can put our big bare feet up and have a coffee and have a chat. That will be just fun. But there's two things I've heard about in Canada that I thought maybe you wanted to look into, or I want to know if you have any information on them. One is a plane crash in 1922 in northern B.C., where this pilot, I think, I'm not sure of the details, maybe Kathy could do some research, found a cave where these aliens existed after a crash of their own, and they had built a shrine underground.
Yeah, and have you ever heard of that, Jerry? Is that new information for you?
Yeah, that's new information
to me. Have you ever heard of that? I've been trying to track it down.
Yeah, track it down. Email us and let us know where you're at. We are going to probably be going up to the Seattle area. We have a good friend, Susan Gordon, who used to be the drummer for our band UFO. She lives at Salt Spring Island, and we've been asked if we wanted to come up there. I suspect that that's within range of wherever you're calling from.
I'm having real trouble hearing you, Jerry, but I'm in Vancouver, in Canada, in Vancouver.
He said they're going up to Seattle area to visit with, I forget her name, Susan?
Susan Gordon.
Used to be the drummer for, I don't know if you know this, Jerry is a rock musician. He's a bassist.
Oh.
He plays bass. And he used to be in a band called UFO, and the drummer was Susan. Yeah, the drummer was Susan Gordon. So they're going up to visit in the Seattle area to visit Susan Gordon. So they
actually
won't be far from Canada.
She lives in Salt Spring Island. I think it's the south end of Vancouver Island.
I did a very long meditation retreat on Salt Spring Island. It's beautiful. You'll love it.
Do they go barefoot there?
Most definitely.
All right. Well, that is really interesting about this cave. I have never heard that before, Lasha.
Well, apparently it's not... A lot of the things in Canada aren't really all that well known.
Yeah.
And this was told to, in 1922, when a man was dying, he told his priest that he had discovered this cave.
Wow.
And that there was alien bodies in it, and that they had built a shrine, and it's like they stayed there until they all died. And so I've been trying to sort of track down information on it. It was near some small little mining town in northern B.C. And I just wondered if they knew anything about that. The other thing I wanted to know about is they also recently discovered in the plains of Canada a really ancient stone circle. And I wondered if they'd known anything about that.
Yeah, actually, I've been reading about that. It is very ancient. And with some of the research that Kathy had done, we were tying that together with information that we have that I don't know if it's Chinese or just, let's just say Asian, someone from Asia, might have been the Chinese, that they had gone far north into Canada and far south into South America. And they were obsessed with time, and they were trying to map time. And they had set these elaborate places and were spending decades, if not hundreds of years, making measurements. And the interesting thing about that is how it transliterates to some of the Mayan timekeeping, and there's a suggestion that maybe their timekeeping was somehow connected to this attempt by the Chinese, I suppose it was, to accurately measure the circumference of the Earth using using these methods, but that doesn't really
say for sure that the Stone Circle in Canada was, you know, the result of their efforts. I've read about it, and it's really quite an enigma, just absolutely amazing.
Okay, Lasha, I have a question for you.
Certainly, yeah.
When are you going to be my guest again?
Anytime you want, Kevin.
All right.
Say the word, and I'll put the headphones on, and we'll go to town.
Oh, that sounds good. So send me an email with contact information, because I may not still have the original email that you and I had.
Okay, I'll send you off an email, and we'll get it done.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Talk soon.
Bye-bye. Okay, that is Lasha Siniuk. So we mentioned UFO. Folks, the telephone lines are open. Okay, so feel free to just jump right in here and join us. We mentioned UFO. I've had the privilege of meeting two of the UFOs. Of course, Jerry. And then there's Jim Delatoso. I've met him. Never met Susan Gordon, but you guys made some great music. Any plans to get back together?
You know, that has been talked about off and on for over a year now, and I think we all want to. The main issue now for each of us is having the time to actually do it. Jim is busy with a lot of his projects. Susan is now up in... Well, it's Salt Spring Island, and we're about to go on the road.
Yeah. Well, what you have to do is kidnap Jim and go mobile and get up to Salt Spring Island, and, you know, then you'll all be back together and you can rock out.
Yeah, well, Jim will be by here tomorrow, so I'll talk to him about it.
Yeah, just kidnap him.
Yeah.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Joni from St. Louis.
Hello, Joni.
And I want to say hi to Jerry and Kathy.
Hi, Joni.
Hi, Joni.
Hi. I just sent you something to your Facebook regarding the subject at hand about feet.
Oh, about feet.
You get a big kick out of it.
Okay. Are you barefoot?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. We're going to have to change the name of the show and incorporate barefoot into that somewhere, you know.
Right.
Kevin Smith Show, the barefoot ufologist.
I have a question. Jerry, I've, you know, been to a couple of your get-togethers down in Nashville and Memphis a few years ago. And, I was just wondering if, when you were saying in one of your newsletters, or if you had mentioned it, that Kathy also does healing?
Ah, yeah. Well, she's a little reticent to go public with that, but actually, from my experience, she is extraordinary. When you remember, I had this car run into the truck that I was driving, and I was hurting a bit. I got tired of the pain, and so finally I said, "All right, Kat, go ahead, do your thing." She did, and within 30 seconds, maybe a minute, I had no pain at all, and I was just mobile and felt great. I've seen her do amazing things. So, yeah, she is quite an amazing healer in her own right.
Well, I think everybody's a healer of sorts in things they do. Not so much with medical, but, you know, people can be kind to someone else, and that's a healing of showing love for someone or things like that, too. So I think everybody's a healer in their life.
Well, that's really good to know that. You know, it's everything is such synchronicity in life, and it just came full circle because when I lived in Hawaii, I ran around barefooted all the time. But also, I had taken a little course on electromagnetic healing, touch healing, And the person who started that over there in Hawaii had described a fella that is exactly your description. And it wasn't until 10, 12 years later that I came across you. So it's just really strange how things work out. And just want to wish you all the best, and that's about it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call, Jerry.
It's good to hear from you.
Okay, Jerry, you're a rocker. A barefoot rocker. And first one I ever met that had that little problem about cows and bulls. But anyway, you are a rocker. I know you to be a very good bass player. What about Kathy? Kathy, do you play any instrument?
Well, Kevin, I like to twirl. When I was in school, I wanted to twirl the baton. And you couldn't twirl the baton in the marching band if you didn't play an instrument, so I had to play the clarinet.
I see.
So I could do that. But
do you,
I
don't, you still play?
No.
No.
No, I only played enough to be able to twirl.
Well, I'm going to get off of the UFO alien subject just slightly, but it's connected to your band UFO. As an expert, I know that you have listened to and watched the videos for two of the songs that I've worked on with a guy named Jeff Bird. What do you think about that guy and his music?
You know, I think you should let the listeners know where to go to listen to this. The video, the videos I've seen are absolutely stellar, just amazing, really, really well done. The music, it's rock and roll, you know, pure and simple. It's really good music.
He's off the charts, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's really good.
Yeah.
I wrote him an email and said, well, if you ever need a bass player, you know, give me a shout. And he wrote back and says, well, actually, I'm a bass player.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Actually,
you know, his music is just exceptional. And your work on the videos is equally extraordinary.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. But, the music is the thing. He's just absolutely... He's got to be from another planet. You know, everything, when you click that and you watch the videos, absolutely everything you hear in that music, every bit of it, is him playing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just phenomenal. All right, we'll be back in just a moment, and we will continue with Jerry, Kathy Wills, and the telephones. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and my guests are Kathy Wills and Jerry Wills. And let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin, Kathy, and Jerry. This is Tony from Norman.
Hello, Tony.
Hello.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great, man.
Oh, good. I have a question for all three of you.
I got one for you first. Are you barefoot?
No.
All right, you got to take at least one shoe and one sock off to ask this question, man.
I never wear shoes and socks unless I go out.
Yeah, me too.
But I got to have something on my feet because I have a cat and, you know.
Yeah, okay, I got
just
you.
I don't want to step anything on my bare feet.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead with your question.
What do the polar bears do?
Huh?
What do the polar bears do when you take their feet?
Oh, bare feet. It took me a while.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. I'm a little slow. I must be an alien. I don't have a sense of humor, I guess.
Speaking of aliens, Jerry, Kathy, good luck on all your future adventures and endeavors. Hope everything goes well and trouble-free.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, just wanted to say that. Thanks.
All right.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, we got time for another call if you want to talk with Jerry and Kathy. Aren't they fun? They're just really fun people. Kind of weird, too. And that that makes it all the more fun. You said I ought to tell people where they can go hear this music we were talking about. I'll do that. It's ReverbNation.com, all one word, ReverbNation.com/, and then it's Jeff Bird Music, all one word. And Bird is spelled B-Y-R-D, Jeff Bird Music. But look, if you go over there to listen to all of his music, you better have the ER standing by. I mean, you better call first. Call ahead to the emergency room and have them standing by. This guy's going to rock your brains out. But it's great music. He's all kinds of music. You'll hear some stuff that's country. You'll hear rock. I'm blown away. And I'll tell you, Jerry, a lot of people are going, well, what's this got to do with UFOs? Well, here's what. See, you pigeonhole people. We do that. We pigeonhole people. Jerry is an explorer, or he's an alien, or he's a healer. You've got him pigeonholed. But he's a rocker, too. He's a musician. Jeff Bird at Jeff Bird Music is one of the top electronics engineers in this country. And in his spare time, he's one of the top rockers, too. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. His attorney is a rocker. How about that? See, don't pigeonhole people. And by the way, don't pigeonhole yourself and don't pigeonhole each other. We're all very multidimensional in terms of our interest and the things that we can do and the things that we're good at. So, you know, don't pigeonhole yourself. You limit yourself when you do that. Jerry, we got a few minutes left. And Kathy, a few minutes left. Anything that you would like to say about what's coming up you want to just make sure everybody knows about it?
Well, I think for the folks listening, if you're not... not subscribed to the Expeditions newsletter or the newsletter that we put out periodically, you might want to. We're going to go to South America on quite an adventure in December. We're getting the equipment together now and a little here and there. We're going to have the Spot personal beacon. It's a GPS beacon. So you can follow us day by day, hour by hour, if you wanted to. It puts a pin on the map on Google Earth, and you'll be able to keep track of what we're doing. We'll be posting updates as we can, sending information and photos out as we can, and we're going to call into the Kevin Smith Show with a satellite phone with updates as well as we can. If you're not subscribed, if you're not, if you're not getting the newsletter, you're not going to know the details, and you're not going to know how to do this. So I think maybe it'd be a good idea to, it's free, so you might as well subscribe. Anything, Kathy?
That's about it.
That's about it?
Yeah, what Kathy is thinking is, hey, folks, come on over and help us finish this move.
Oh, we're almost done.
Yeah. The big stuff's out of the way, huh?
Well, we do have a refrigerator for sale.
Anybody need a refrigerator? Have we got a deal for you?
Yeah.
All right. What about a bass guitar?
It's a UFO bass, and no, it's not for sale.
I didn't imagine that it would be. Well, I want to thank you guys for taking time to do this. And what you folks don't know is that when we go to break, whenever we'd go to break, Jerry and Kathy jump up and run away and stack boxes. And then they run back in here in front of the camera just in time for me to bring them back.
Yeah. You have a slave driver.
Yeah. I guess that makes Jerry the slave.
No. Well, actually, Jerry's the one that's the slave driver. He's going, okay, we've got 5 more days.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got 4 more days.
It's a countdown. And then you're out of there, but you're about a month away from actually hitting the road, right?
Yeah. We are going to take the month of October and refurbish as much as we can this 35-foot trailer. We're going to try to turn it into a version of Star Trek.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah, right away.
No.
Yes.
I'm not sure we need to see this.
Yeah.
All right. This might get violent here. All right. Well, look, guys, all the best to you. And I really do appreciate you being here and taking the time, because I know you're busy. But you're such a part of this show that I really wanted our audience to sort of share in this adventure with you.
Well, thanks, Kevin, and we feel connected to everyone listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of our lives as well. And we'll keep you informed as we make discoveries, and we'll share them with you as completely as we can.
Hey, you know what? The very first broadcast you do from your mobile studio, do it here.
You got it.
All right. We want to see it. We want to see this Jerry Wills Road Show.
It's a Kathy Wills Road
yeah.
Show.
Oh, okay.
It's Wills on Wheels.
Oh. All right. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And, hey, just stay on the line with me for a moment, and I'll chat with you for just a moment after we go off the air. Okay, folks, that's Jerry and Kathy Wills, or maybe that's Kathy and Jerry Wills. They're a lot of fun, and I think you can see just how fortunate we are to have them, both of them, affiliated with the Kevin Smith Show. I mean, we're just really, really fortunate. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it's happened, and and it's a good thing. Without them, we wouldn't have had the reporting that we had from Greece. Without them, we wouldn't have had the reporting and the documentary from Bulgaria. And there's more coming up. These are really, really fine people. And you need to get over to expeditionstv.com, sign up for the newsletter. As he said, it's free. And it's always interesting. I get it. And you need to be getting it too. All right, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.